Welcome to In the Hive, I'm Roger McDonough. Well, maybe you've been out and about in our valley and have seen signs that say Salt Lake needs a food co-op, and maybe you've wondered, what's that all about? Well, wonder no longer, because today on the program we're going to dive into the plans for a cooperative grocery store, one that seems to be getting closer to coming to fruition. Co-ops have a long history here in the state of Utah. The Zions Cooperative Mercantile Institution, or ZCMI, was a Mormon experiment in collectivism that began in the 1860s in downtown Salt Lake City. That was a church member-owned and operated store, or actually eventually series of stores. But the planned Wasatch Co-op would be Utah's first cooperative grocery store. What does that really mean? Yesterday I sat down with two volunteers from the Wasatch Co-op to learn more. And just a piece of housekeeping as we go into this conversation, for full disclosure, I am one of the 800 or so member owners of the yet-to-come-into-existence Wasatch Cooperative Market. I paid $300 in installments of $25, I think, over a series of months to earn that distinction. But I'm going to admit to you that I really didn't know precisely what I had done, what I had signed up for, even after doing that. But now I've got a better handle on it. After yesterday's conversation with Barbara Pioli and Stephanie Baranek from the Wasatch Co-op. Barbara Pioli, co-op development coordinator with the Wasatch Co-op, and Stephanie Baranek, who is a board member with the Wasatch Co-op. Thanks both for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Roger.
Yeah. I don't know who to address this question to. Maybe I'll start with you, Stephanie, as a board member. What's the big idea behind this thing? Like, why is a market co-op something that we need here in our region?
I think that there are several factors, at least for me personally, that come into play here. The first one to me is keeping it local. A conventional grocery store, a lot of the money that you're spending in the grocery store isn't going back into the local food economy, whereas when you shop at a cooperative grocery store, for every $1,000 spent, there's an additional $1,600 that's generated in the local food economy. Mm-hmm. So the thought there is that we have a lot of local farmers and producers, that struggle. We want to provide them an outlet to allow them to flourish and provide more locally grown and produced food here in our state.
Maybe it might be worth kind of defining what a cooperative is in general. And Barbara, it's been a while, but we've had a conversation about this many years ago. What is the purpose of a cooperative? I think people think of REI in the modern sense. There's also the kind of history of Utah cooperatives. But what is a co-op?
Yeah. Well, co-ops actually started back in the 1800s in England. Mm. And it was a bunch of weavers who were working for a company. And they realized the company provided their housing, their food, and the quality of which was very poor. So they started pooling their monies together and creating some independence. So they created their own grocery store, their own general store. And so it's that basic idea that continues today. So co-ops are independent. They're run by the member owners. And it's the member owners who contribute the monies, they finance the business, but then in return, they benefit financially. So with the Wasatch Cooperative Market, what that means is that when you're a member owner and you shop there, it's like with REI, you, depending on how much you spend, you can earn dividends back. Mm. So you're investing in the company, making it happen, but you benefit from it financially.
Right. So you're buying your groceries, but in the end, you're getting something back. I think that it's a lot of the profits of the store itself, if it does have profits, are going to be not necessarily going back to those member owners, but being reinvested in the store itself. I mean, there's a decision-making process by the people who are member owners.
Roger, that's right. There is this real sense of democracy that occurs in a co-op because it is owned by the community members. All of those community members own a share of the grocery store and in turn have a voice and a say and a vote in what happens in their grocery store that they own and operate. And, I think for me, that's another principle that is really appealing and something that's very unique outside of other grocery stores. But I do think that it's also important for us to note that although this is a community-owned market and that the member owners of the market will receive financial benefits, this is also just a grocery store that anyone and everyone can shop at. So in my mind, not only is it something that benefits our local growers and producers, it also benefits the community that it services, and then also the member owners that participate in the grocery store itself.
I think it's interesting. I mean, you talked about the amount of money that's spent locally and staying locally, and how that gets reinvested or moves around in the local economy. Versus, you know, if you go and shop at some grocery stores, the money is generally, or the profits are generally taken away and kind of sucked up by a billionaire somewhere. And so that's appealing to me. And I need to disclose that I signed up to be a member owner of the Wasatch Co-op some years ago. It cost $300. I think I paid in a period of months, like installments. I guess maybe we need to kind of define the member ownership thing too. Like I'm doing it, and I don't really know what I'm doing. I've not participated in any meetings. I don't know. You know, I did it because I thought, yeah, hey, this is cool. This is a local thing that's happening. But yeah, what does it mean to be a member owner? Like, how do you get involved?
There are so many ways to get involved. So during the development phase, pretty much all of the work is being done on a volunteer basis. So we have people who are doing IT, managing our website, welcoming member owners, organizing events, doing data entry, everything that you can imagine that goes into organizing a business. And this is a very complex, you know, it's not just going to be a little tiny mom and pop business. We're going to be competing against the established grocery stores in the area. And so we have to be just hit the ground running the day we open. It's going to be professionally run, so all the staff will be hired. But leading up to that, it's all being done by volunteers.
You know, why, Stephanie, I'm thinking about this, the volunteer hours that go into it. You as a board member, I know that you're on the sort of site location committee. You're trying to find a spot, and we can talk about that too. But you're obviously having to dedicate a fair amount of time to doing this. Has that been difficult? Were you expecting the amount of work you're doing? And then, yeah, what drew you to it? I mean, you said you liked the local part, but man, you're working for free.
I think that for me, the idea of providing volunteer time in my community is just an innate part of who I am. And so the work is not necessarily an issue. I also work as a commercial real estate agent during the day, so that's my specialty. In part, that's the reason why, I'm assisting on the Planning and Feasibility Committee with a site search. But I think that I had a pretty good idea of the work it was going to take to be able to pull this off, just given the current real estate landscape in Salt Lake City.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, I think that volunteer time, and I think I echo this for all of our board members and the volunteers at large. I think that all of us really love the time that we spend together and the work that we do with one another, because it is a community benefit. And it's also really nice to just be surrounded by like-minded people. When we're tabling at the Salt Lake City Farmers Market, the downtown farmers market, there is never a 4 or 5 hour period of time when I'm at the market that I'm not enjoying myself interacting with other people. And so, yes, it's work, but it's also a lot of fun.
I like it. And Barbara, I got to ask you, I guess, sort of the same question, which is what, you know, well, maybe I'll ask you this. How long have you been working on this? Because, again, we spoke in 2013, but I know that you started before that working on this project, and you've been volunteering your time the entire time, too, but for more than a decade, right?
I try not to think about that too often. But, no, I was not with the founding board. I came on shortly thereafter. But, yes, I've been working with this project for a little over 10 years now. Yeah. And, you know, what really motivates me is the whole idea of community. And when I left to go into my private consulting business, I thought, what could I do in Salt Lake to help bring community together? Mm-hmm. And to me, the one thing that we all have in common is food. Mm-hmm. And when you start to come together over a meal with quality ingredients, the conversation slows down. You just enjoy each other's company. And that really is what motivates me. And the co-ops are known across the country for the quality of the food that they provide, the ingredients, not only because it's local, but it's sustainably grown, typically. It's healthier for us, and it's much more flavorful. Mm. I mean, when you bite into an apple that's just been picked and how it bursts with flavor in your mouth, it just stops you in your tracks. That's kind of the essence of the co-op.
So who decides what gets sold on the shelves at the co-op? I mean, I guess, it's the member owners. Is it sort of a democratic process? Is there anything actually in the works right now in terms of deals being made to provide certain kinds of, you know, apples or whatever it may be on the shelves?
There aren't any deals being made. Over the years, we've collected a database of local vendors, and we have over 250 on the list. We haven't reviewed that in a couple of years, so we've just recently put together a team of volunteers. One is a local farmer and two other member owners who are very eager to get out there and make sure that that list is as up to date as possible, but also to inquire as to how are those vendors producing their food? Where are they located? How far will they be from the store? Are they interested in contracting with us? So all of those questions have to be answered. And then it'll be turned over to the general manager, who will be hiring department managers. I think the member owners, from time to time, will have an ability to give input and direction and what they like and what they don't, because it's their store. But it's the general manager and the department managers that will be making those final decisions.
Got it.
Well,
then.
And to add to that a little bit, we did recently survey our member ownership to find out what category of products were most important to them. Did they want a bulk department? Did they want a deli? Did they want a coffee shop? Things of that nature. Yeah. So we do solicit feedback from them on a regular basis, but it's in broader terms. Additionally, my understanding in the research that I've done on co-op grocery stores, typically speaking, it's those small and mid-size producers that really benefit from a co-op grocery store. It allows them to, you know, increase the product quality and also the amount of food that they can produce, which is really exciting. So it does in fact expand that local food economy.
Yeah, the fact that it's, I guess, as a producer, the fact that it is something consistent you can go to, you know, that you can count on being a certain amount purchased over and over again means that you're
well, and that they don't have to have any sort of employee base to show up to actually sell the product, that, you know, it's the grocery store and their employees that do that as well. So it really allows those farmers to go back to the farm and do what they do best.
Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, because we're working with a smaller scale, so we have one store, which eventually over the next decade or two, we hope to have a string of stores like they do in Washington State and Arizona and other locations.
Michigan.
But what that allows us to do is be flexible, be responsive. What is it that our customers want? And then we tell the farmers, and they can adjust what they're producing. And so there's this synergy back and forth.
Is there, I mean, some products can't be produced year-round in the state of Utah, obviously. I guess I wonder, you know, you go to the store, you're expecting some kind of arugula or whatever it is that you want to buy from a regional source because, you know, transportation costs are down and also environmental footprint as a result of transporting the food from one place to another. But then, you know, it turns into January or February. You're not getting arugula. What happens then? Is that decided yet?
Well, because of the size store that we have and the projected revenues, we'll likely contract with National Cooperative Grocers Association. They're another co-op, and they supply goods to co-ops all across the country. The thing that's great about contracting with them is they follow the same high standards that we would be expecting in our own store. So sustainable, organic, that sort of thing. So if you want a banana, we'll have a banana. If you want an avocado, we'll have avocados.
Yeah. There's, as I understand, a physical location that seems to be firming up, and it's in an old, historic, actual grocery store could be, is the idea. And Stephanie, maybe this is something, a question for you, as you were in that real estate sort of realm.
Sure. I would happily talk a little bit about that. We are in initial phase negotiations. We're I think we're coming really close to being able to execute what's called a letter of intent. That's a non-binding agreement that, you know, just provides basic deal terms that then inform a lease document. So I think that we're really close to wrapping that up, which is very exciting. The site itself is located on 900 South in the former Southeast Asian Market location, which I believe is, it's like 412 East.
Right.
We are extremely excited about this in the sense that we feel like the local developer that purchased the building a few years ago, her values seem to really align with the co-op values as well. She has gone in and evaluated the building itself and decided that instead of tearing it down and creating something new, that she wanted to draw from the existing palimpsest of the building, open it up. She found beautiful buttress ceilings. So her idea is to preserve the historic integrity of the building, which we think is fantastic. And then in addition to that, she's working on a rebranding campaign. She's calling that block the Milk Block after Harvey Milk. And so we really feel like synergistically it makes sense for us to be trying to come to terms with someone whose values are aligned with the co-ops. And in addition to that, we really just like the idea of this sense of community that she is creating already there on site.
The site is, again, you said 9th South, 4th East. It's in a historic, I like the fact that it's in a historic market. It was the OP Skaggs market originally. You did a market feasibility study that said, can this neighborhood support this market? What did that say?
Conservatively, it was a resounding yes, the neighborhood could. In fact, the neighborhood was in need of a grocery store. And additionally, we found that because that is a burgeoning retail corridor, the fact that you're seeing new restaurants and retailers popping up along the 900 South corridor, that would help support the grocery store. And in turn, the grocery store would help support those other retailers so that we were really creating a symbiotic relationship.
Cool. I'm thinking about the financing of this. I mean, Stephanie brought up the fact that, you know, the real estate market has been insane here. You have something on the order of 800 and something members, $300 a pop. That's more than $240,000. But is that the only, is that a pool of money right now that's just sitting there? I mean, is the market ready to do what it wants to do in terms of becoming this co-op, in terms of launching, I guess?
Right.
Can it afford this building, for example? Or, I mean, to rent this building, yeah.
There is that lasting question. Yeah. So the next step that we need to do in this process of evaluating the space is to, now that we have the market study completed, is to put those figures into a pro forma, which will give us a financial budget projection for the next 10 years. Mm. And that will really give us a lot of information. But then in addition to that, we need, we're contracting with a store designer to look at the layout.
Right.
Because, you know, depending on where your dumpster is and where the cash registers are, it all affects labor costs. And so the design is very critical. It can cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars if the store layout is not well designed. Mm. And you mentioned that, you know, this project has been going on for a long time. And a year ago, we thought we had another site. And we had invested a lot of energy and finances in evaluating that.
This is the Sears building, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we're having to repeat some of that work. So we're having to invest monies again in those same areas. So I think that this puts a little bit of question in some people's minds as to, as you say, is this a viable venture? We don't have that complete answer yet, but we are feeling very positive. We haven't gotten any negative feedback. But I would have to say to anyone listening to this, if you are not yet committed to becoming a member owner, which is actually the best way to support this endeavor, is we have a crowdfunding campaign going on right now. Hmm. It's being sponsored by a nonprofit in New York State. It's called IOBY. Hmm. And our goal is to raise $50,000 through that venue. And we've raised a little over $2,000. And the campaign is going till the end of this year. So, you know, even a $10 contribution could make a big difference. So I encourage people to go in there and look us up. And to get back to your part of your question previously, Roger, in terms of how do we finance this? So we need to grow our member owners to around 1,100. Right now we're at 834. Our goal is to try to get there by next February, which is it's doable. At that point, if everything else checks out in terms of the basic store layout, the pro forma is looking good, then we'll launch a capital campaign. It's only member owners who will be able to participate in that. And the pro forma will tell us how much capital we need to raise to finance the opening of the store. So those are some of the hurdles. In terms of timelines, as Stephanie says, it's always a little bit of a mystery kind of windows, you might say. So we have some big goals to reach and achieve.
To get there. It's funny, the Tribune story pointed out the fact that, you know, this is, while there are other cooperatives here, but this is the first cooperative grocery store idea. They pointed to the history of you know, pioneer collectives and the Zion's Cooperative Mercantile Institution, ZCMI, and other sort of long-standing experiments in cooperative enterprise. I guess I'm just expounding. It's an interesting idea, an interesting concept. It'll be really interesting, just to keep using that word, to see where it goes. So,
Well, and just like your experience when you stumbled into the co-op in this other state. When people are traveling, I always encourage them to investigate: is there a co-op in the town where they're visiting? And if there is, just stop in. Just try it out, because as soon as you do, you can start to recognize the difference between that and a conventional grocery store. And I'll guarantee them they'll want to support this one.
Can I ask if you've had that experience yourself?
Like, absolutely. I make a point.
I do too.
Oh, they're just fun. And I mean, the staff is so informative, they're friendly, and you feel like, even though that's not your community, you've just stepped into their community.
Again, that was Barbara Pioli and Stephanie Baranek, who are from the Wasatch Cooperative Market, or the Wasatch Co-op. You can find out more about what they are trying to do by visiting wasatch.coop. And that is it for In the Hive today here on KCPW, a listener-supported, entirely independent, local public radio resource. You can find podcasts of this and all of our local shows over at kcpw.org. It's a brand new website, by the way. Let us know if you find any bugs. We're still sorting through them. Again, thanks for listening. Join us again next week.